Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from 2 weeks ago in the Indoorsman Studios, it's the second annual Game of the Year Awards. Awards.
I had no input into that intro. Hello, I'm Cliff.
Hello, Cliff. I am your award show co-host, Matt. I feel like I should have come up with a cool name. Matt Sparkles McGee.
Not cool.
No.
Sure is a name, though.
So, it's Game of the Year.
It is Game of the Year.
It is time to decide the Game of the Year that we decide every year for everyone.
Only our opinions matter.
Absolutely no consensus between us either.
Nope.
I can almost guarantee there will be very little crossover in our selections this year again.
There may be one, but just looking at my list. But if that one's not on your list, nah, just nah.
You know, I'm looking at my list, and I think it's pretty doubtful.
You might be surprised, though. You might be surprised.
I'd have to be pretty fucking surprised.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yes, I think... So this year, we're going a bit less hog wild than we did our first time around. Rather than doing our top 10, we're doing top 5s. And some honourable and dishonourable mentions, as have been earned in the past year of video game releases.
I honestly didn't actually play that many new games this year.
Yeah, so I'm assuming PUBG's on your list like 4 times.
Well, I mean, I've got a top one that are... I mean, I've got like 5 things written down, they're all one thing, but...
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So this should be a really exciting countdown.
You might be pleasantly surprised, though.
All right, well, let's see. Would you like to go first with your number 5, or shall I?
You can go first with number 5.
Okay, so number 5 is, and I will say, when I went through the list of game releases and tabulated all the games I've played and enjoyed, I found it really hard to nut out a list of just 5 titles. So, coming in at number 5, surprisingly, is Persona 5, which I played on the PlayStation 4, and I had been waiting for many years. And really enjoyed. The aesthetic of the game was amazing. So much style, so much class, so much finesse. And as fun as it was, after spending over 100 hours in the game, I think 120 in the end, it was still superseded by other releases in the year. 4 of them, in fact.
I have no opinion about that game. I've never played it. I don't know anything about Persona games. I've never seen or played any of them. So
There have been persistent rumors that it's going to be released to PC eventually, but nothing's come of that so far in the almost full year since it was released, because I think it was March that it came out. It was very disappointing because the whole theme of the game is stealing the hearts of the criminals, so they were going to release it on Valentine's Day, and then they fucked it up.
That does seem like a very big missed opportunity.
Exactly. It's like releasing... was it Friday the 13th that got released on Friday the 20th?
Yeah, nah, guys, come on. Get your shit together.
I don't care if there's a game-crashing bug in Friday the 13th, the game. You release it on Friday the 13th.
Hell yeah, it's free publicity. Everyone will be going on about that shit.
Exactly. But that Friday the 13th is not on my list. I will spoil that. But Persona 5 is. Yeah, I really enjoyed this game. I've been waiting for it for so long. It's kind of weird. It's one of those titles that's been sitting in the periphery for so many years, and it's just checked off now. It's weird not having it hang over my head. But played it, and they've already got spin-off games coming. There's a Persona 5 dancing game, which the Persona 4 dancing game on Vita was ridiculously fun. So I look forward to digging into that with some fancy remixes of all the tracks. But I don't think that's coming for like a
year. Spin-off games are bad.
Spin-off games are great.
No,
well,
they're
some
bad.
Of them.
All right.
They have the potential for greatness.
Name one great Final Fantasy VII spin-off game.
Oh, this is narrowing the field just a touch. Crisis Core. I really enjoyed it.
That was a piece of shit. You level and attack completely randomly. There's no... Yeah. You press the button and you wait to see, do I win or do I die? I guess this time I die.
I enjoyed it. Only for the refined art style. And
The fighting mechanism was... fucking junk.
I mostly blocked it from my memory.
Yeah. It's just not like, nah. Just nah.
Just nah.
But anyway, my number 5 is actually... I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to cheat in 2 ways.
That's so, fine, because I'm going to cheat later on.
Okay, so the first way I'm going to cheat is there's actually two games that I'm going to go on about here. The second way I'm cheating is they're not actually new games. They're great games, but their games have been out for a long, long, long time, and they got remasters this year.
Okay, so remastered editions, yeah. Just you played them this year.
No, they're remasters. So the first one is Full Throttle Remastered.
Yep.
Because that game is awesome, and more people should play it. Everything about it was great. The music is great. The writing is great. The only problem with it is it's too short, but then we're talking about games, like adventure games built in the 90s. They were all very, very short, sadly. And the second one that goes along with here is Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap. The remaster of that is fantastic. I haven't actually played it much. I played it at my mate's place a couple of times, but I've watched a bunch of stuff, played with it. It's very, very cool. The art is great. You can switch on the fly between them and the music as well. They're both great games that everyone should play.
Yeah, Full Throttle's still on my Steam list waiting to be picked up at some point, or potentially waiting for it to release on Switch so I can play it on the move, which would be amazing. Wonder Boy I did play. I mean, I enjoyed it. You're right, the art style is amazing, all that sort of freshly drawn cartoon stuff. But I think the difficulty of it just kind of turned me off personally. Just kind of throwing myself at it, like, I don't have a lot of patience for games. We've covered this before. I play so many things that if I hit a wall, I'm going to go play something else that I can enjoy.
This is like an old school platformer, and they're completely unforgiving.
So 100%. Unforgiving.
Yeah.
It's one hit kill in the game as well, isn't it?
No, you have health.
Ah, right. Yeah, that's right.
But at the start of the game, you have nothing. So.
Yeah. I think I got to the point where I got shrunk into whatever form that was. The mouse.
Yep.
And then your range of attack decreases to about nothing.
But you can walk up walls like an alien.
You can, which is exactly what mice do. They run on walls completely free.
Leap off, attack people with their second mouth inside their first mouth.
That's it. I am looking forward to Monster Boy, which is the next remaster coming from the same sort of series. I don't know when exactly that's due. Probably next year sometime. But it'll have a similarly kind of fresh look. I don't know if it's going to be the same art style or another art style, but the screens I've seen of it look really good.
Oh, nice. So that's my number five, or my number fives.
Number fives, very good.
Mm-hmm.
My number four, which, again, I'm surprised it ended up this low on the list, because I really, really, really loved it. Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus, which, to begin with, was not a game I ever thought I would have played, let alone enjoyed.
Well, it is a shooty-shooty game.
Yeah, it's a Nazi shooty-shooty game, which is generally just a complete nope from me. But after seeing that trailer at E3 this year, with just all the completely batshit ridiculous stuff going on in it, I went back and played Wolfenstein The New Order, which was kind of... It's weird, from doing a bit of research, it's not a redo of the entire Wolfenstein franchise. It tweaks some things, but does continue threads from previous games, without sort of being beholden to them. Like, New Order's main villain was Death's Head, who was the villain of the sort of just Wolfenstein game that was released a couple years ago on PS4 generation-y kind of timing. But otherwise, they pretty much did what they wanted. They rebuilt BJ as a character and made him very introspective, very philosophical, which makes for an amazing undercurrent with his little kind of internal monologues as you're going around just slaughtering cunts. And yeah, I really enjoyed the game, both the original and the sequel this year. Highly recommend it. It's short for a story game, but long for a shooter.
It does. I have seen some stuff with the game. I haven't played it, but there's some pretty crazy messed up shit in that game.
Oh yeah, the entire opening sequence is very kind of... For anyone who gets affected by that kind of stuff, it's an emotionally draining kind of intro very heavy.
What is it the Nazis call you when you're like scooting around in your wheelchair killing people? They have a name for you.
Yes. So part of the propaganda sort of trying to put down the freedom fighters is that BJ Blazkowicz has been branded as Terror Billy.
That's right. Yeah, Terror Billy. And it's hilarious and amazing.
Yeah. So you actually get threads of that all through the game. because, you know, as you are sort of getting out there and taking down dudes, that you do start to develop a reputation. And so you overhear little Nazi conversations, like talking about if they've ever seen Terror Billy or how they'd take him down if they did. And then, you know, you pop out from behind the barrel you're crouching in
horrible
at
ways.
And just slash their guts open, because this game round, instead of having a knife, he has a hatchet, which makes for some all too gruesome stealth kills. But yeah, really amazing game. I'm looking forward to the DLC with the kind of other heroes of the Resistance that they're going to be covering. But yeah, highly recommend it.
I'm going to immediately cheat again. Excellent. And this is a game that I haven't actually played. Now, there's there's a very good reason why it's on this list, and there's a very good reason why I haven't played it too. It's a PSVR game, so I can't play it. It is Star Trek Bridge Crew. The idea of that in VR with four-player VR, amazing. Like, it's that is good. The Star Trek experience of like commanding a ship and, you know, having your captain and then the other guys around you. Amazing idea. Like completely just stunning, like 10 out of 10 idea. And I've watched a bunch of people play it, and it's always entertaining.
Yeah, I've played a bit of it because I did get sent a copy of that through Survivor, Survivor.com. And yeah, it was quite enjoyable. There's multiple modes, and I think they're still adding content to it these days as well. Nothing from Discovery, but you never know, maybe someday.
Don't put the Discovery stuff in there. It'd be better without it.
But yeah, so you've got your kind of sort of revamped timeline ships with all the sort of cool fancy controls. You can play, what is it, Captain, Helm, Engineering, and Security?
Science, I think, maybe like scanning. You can like targeting or something like that. Like
You've got Engineering that controls power flow. You've got Science that does scanning and targeting. You've got Helm, which controls navigation, and the Captain who controls everyone else.
Or doesn't, if you're watching the Achievement Hunter guys play it, and Jeff, who's the kind of head of Achievement Hunter, is the captain, and his crew is so much a well-oiled machine, they're just doing things without him having to say it. So one of them will do something, like they'll scan something, and then the helmsman will just start flying towards it, and then after that, Captain Jeff will say, oh yeah, like set a course for, and they're already flying there. or like, you know, like fire. It's like, you know, we've already been firing for the last 5-10 seconds already. So that it's interesting to watch idiots play that game. But it's a very, it's a game that I never thought I'd ever see.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique one. There have been Star Trek games in the past where you do sort of take the role of the captain, usually the next gen, so Jean-Luc Picard. But it's way different when you're actually sort of reaching out and pressing buttons. Even more different if you play original timeline mode, which is where you play on the bridge of the classic Enterprise. And you may recall that those things were just like covered in buttons.
Yep. They never actually did anything. They just like make noises and turn and people to play with and make it look like they're doing things.
So when you're playing in original Enterprise mode, you have these vast arrays of buttons. Only about a third of them do anything, and none of them are labeled.
Hardcore.
So, like you can turn on sort of tags for the different buttons, but I'm pretty sure you can only sort of hold down the button to show them and then they go away.
That's for pussies anyway.
Yeah, like the interface is just less intuitive, and that's how they made it harder.
Real Starfleet officers just know what their buttons do.
Yeah. So yes, died very quickly in that mode a couple times.
I also love that they put the Kobayashi Maru in there as well.
Yeah.
Very, very good touch. Yeah.
Just feeding off that, because it didn't actually make it anywhere on my list. In terms of VR titles, another one that I had a lot of fun with this year was I Expect You to Die.
The spy one where you got to do the things, mix the vials and...
It's basically a puzzle or escape room game.
If you were James Bond.
If you were James Bond, so it has vast arrays of ways to die in every mission. So, you know, you'll be infiltrating an enemy base or trying to stop your submarine from sinking or breaking into like a specially designed supercar. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to work through. They're actually releasing a new mission set on a train in the new year that's going to be free sort of upgrade to the mission. So I am looking forward to that. Nice. It was also just fun because as you completed each mission, your sort of home base office would fill in with stuff from the missions.
Okay, so there's like kind of a trophy, a bunch of trophies around. Yeah.
So one mission had dynamite that you had to use as part of completing it. So you get dynamite in your office. You can just sort of peg around, all this kind of stuff. Quite a lot of fun. Yeah, so that's your number four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, it's time for my number three, which is where I start cheating, mm-hmm. because it is two games, because I could not decide between them.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of grouped them together because they have one element in particular in common. That is why I liked both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the games are Horizon Zero Dawn,
mm-hmm.
and Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
I knew both of those are going to be on your list.
Yeah. Both excellent experiences, great stories, but more importantly, great main characters, great main female characters, great main female, well-developed, well-rounded characters, which is something that we saw a lot of this year, just like, and not just female characters, non-white, gruff man characters in general got a real good shake this year. So yeah, I pulled both of these on the list because they both look amazing, they both tell a great story. Horizon had Ashley Birch from Hey Ash, What You're Playing, playing the lead role, who's also Tiny Tina in the Borderlands games and has done a handful of other things across the industry at this point. Very likable character because she just didn't give a shit. She's like, what do you need? Fine, I'll do it. Yes, I'll fix everything. I'll go hunt some more dinosaurs. And on the other side, you had Uncharted playing as Chloe Fraser, as voiced by Claudia Black, Australia's own. And had a really great dynamic with her and Nadine Ross, the kind of badass South African militia leader from Uncharted 4. And I was really glad they expanded that from like a 3 or 4 hour DLC for the game into its own title, because it made for a great adventure and really set the scene for what a post Nathan Drake Uncharted series could be like, kind of the quality it could hit. So yes. Those are my number three lady choices.
They need to make an Indiana Jones game. Just like flat out Indiana Jones.
They've kind of circled around it between Tomb Raider and Uncharted. But other than the old
Jones, just get the
games,
licensing, just go nuts. Make an actual Indiana Jones. Like unique story from, like back in the 30s, I want to say, off the top of my head. Just go nuts. Indiana Jones.
Let's make Kingdom of the Crystal Skull into a game, because that was the best movie, right?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this film.
It was the really very good one, with the very good special effects.
I know of three Indiana Jones movies. And then Young Indiana Jones. That's different, though.
Yeah.
Indy 4 was not good. Dear. It was not good.
I haven't seen it, but I have definitely heard that.
It's not good.
I caught a snippet of it on TV a couple of weeks ago, actually, and saw the effects of the alien spaceship lifting off, and I was like, good golly, this was not a good movie.
No, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, it was not good. It did not feel like indie.
Yeah, it's a good thing it wasn't on either of our Game of the Year lists in that case. But what is on your Game of the Year list in slot number three?
Well, this is one that I thought might have had the crossover. And this is another one that I haven't played a whole lot of, but is super, super impressive for what it is. And that is Snipperclips.
Okay.
That shit is great.
It is very good. It's not on my list.
Ah, I thought that would be the closest that any of these games would cross over to your list. But yeah. Very, very good puzzle game. Totally unique. I haven't seen anything like it. I've seen that they've also released extra stuff for it as well.
Yeah, the deluxe edition, Cut It Out Together or something.
Yep, I've watched a bunch of... we played it together at the preview earlier in the year for the Switch.
Yes.
I've watched a bunch of... I watched the Play Pals. So that's Michael Jones and Gavin Free from Achievement Hunter play it. And their play power is notorious for Gavin being really, really terrible at games and him just fucking around while Michael tries to actually win the game. And so you can imagine in that game where you can snip each other and destroy 5 or 10 minutes hard work to do things can be destroyed instantly by a couple of like snips. So it was very fun to watch that. It's incredibly frustrating to watch idiots play that game. Incredibly frustrating. Don't play
it's
it with
more
a friend who's an idiot.
It's more frustrating to be an idiot playing that game.
So yeah, a great idea for a game. So simple, and it's a great. It was brought to life in an amazing way.
and brought to life by an Australian development team.
Yay.
Which is always a nice thing to see, that there's still a market here making games when all of our major studios have slowly bitten the dust.
Tax break, y'all.
Yeah, but there might be more Australian games coming in the future because there was just a big government grant put towards games development specifically in South Australia for indies and small studios.
Oh, nice.
Injecting something in the millions of dollars into sort of grants and funding.
Sweet, we can make a game.
Yeah. So it'll be cool to see what kind of, you know, new stuff. That's seed money. Once you've got sort of a platform to build games, you can go out and find backing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Cool, so that's number three. No crossover.
Not yet. But I don't think we're going to get any crossover. I don't think you've... I think you've played these other two games. So you played one of them, maybe.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I have an idea of what I'm going to be hearing from you next as well.
Okay. So number two on my list is...
Played on a handheld.
No.
Ooh.
I mean, you hold a controller in your hand, but no.
Ooh.
Number two on my list is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which, if you may recall, was the game on PS4 about a woman
with the craziness and the wicked sound design.
With the voices, yes. Mm-hmm. Which had binaural sound designed to have the voices sort of following around you and moving behind you and all this kind of great stuff, which just worked brilliantly on headphones. I was playing with a decent but not amazing set of headphones, and I still had a great time. Since then, I've gotten a pair of headphones that I kickstarted, the Neurophones, which are super-duper headphones designed to be over-ear and in-ear. So in-ear for melody and sort of tune, and over-ear for bass. The sound quality I've experienced on those is amazing. I'm sorely tempted to go back and play Hellblade again just for that extra depth of sound, because they put a lot of effort into that. And it seems to have paid off. They thought they'd break even in the first year, but it took 3 months to sort of recoup all the cost and start making a profit on that game.
Oh, nice.
Which they actually made because the studio, it was their passion project for years and years and years while they were making everything else. And they just sort of put aside money every time they made profit off their other projects. So they'd pay their staff, they'd pay their dues, and then they just sort of file the money away for a rainy day until they had enough to start developing this game, which is amazing. It's so nice that there are projects out there, not just from tiny indie teams, but bigger teams that are able to develop these kind of passion projects that turn out really great. And I want to see more of it. Maybe not specifically Hellblade more, because that story is pretty much, well, self-contained. But that kind of like energy and love put into a project is something I would really enjoy seeing more of.
I have to admit, any game that has the word Blade in it, they just kind of meld into one. Because there's a lot of games with Blade in the title, and it's just like...
It's not a great name.
No. It sounds like super generic, like JRPG.
Yeah. Initially, it was just called Hellblade, and that was the full title for years and years and years, because they've been referencing this project for years. And now it's got its sort of subtitle, which does help. But it's kind of the reason why I didn't immediately jump on the game, because it's one of those names that just sounds out of a generator.
Yeah, it sounds super generic. Yeah.
But yeah, it was an amazing little title from Ninja Theory. So I hope we get to see more from them along these lines in the future.
Nice. My number two is a game that I know you haven't played.
All right.
And it's probably been the game that I've been most enthusiastic about in the whole podcast. So you could probably guess based on that.
I may have an inkling.
It's Endless Space 2, y'all.
Hey.
I truly love that game. It's been ages since I played that style of game, like the turn-based kind of stuff, the empire stuff. Building. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after playing some kind of not so great Civilization games, and always wanting like a sci-fi space one, after playing Birth of the Federation like years and years ago, which is a great, great game. Only problem is that in that game, did you ever play Birth of the Federation? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, cool. So
I've never really been on the 4X train.
Right, cool. So Birth of the Federation came out like way back when, late 90s, I want to say. maybe early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it came out and it's a Star Trek 4X game kind of deal.
Okay.
So you control the Romulans, the Klingons. You know, you can choose your factions, basically, of like four or five of them. And then you build your empire, you do your things, and occasionally things like Borg cubes will pop up and start running around.
Nice.
And various stuff like that. And so you got to defend against Borg cubes and all kinds of stuff. I always play the Romulans because the Romulans are my favorite. I won't go into the game too much. It was amazing watching like 50 Warbird, not Romulan Warbirds, decloak and destroy a Borg cube like that. Amazing.
Nice.
One of the problems that they had with the game was that every time you switch screens, because, you know, you go to your diplomacy screen, you go to your security screen, you go to your construction screen. Every time you went to a screen, it didn't actually clear the memory of the previous screen. So if you've been playing for an hour, your memory was full of the last hour's worth of play, and there was nowhere to stop it except for save, quit, reload. Horrible game. Then there was some fan projects for Birth of Federation 2 that were going around. I actually got involved with a bunch of stuff and did like a color design and some UI design for it. And my designs got picked up. My color design especially got picked up and is used by basically all of those fan projects. So that's kind of awesome. Cool. After I'd lost touch with that crew after getting in touch with a couple of things. But then I hadn't played a really good like space sci-fi game like that. I played Endless Space 1 and it was alright, but I didn't really like the combat so much. I thought the combat in Endless Space 2 was better. I would still liked a bit more of a bit more control over my units instead of just setting them going. I found that Endless Space 2 was a great game and I really, really loved it. And I wish I had more time to play it. But sadly, those games take a long, long time. They're a big time sink. And I've always got, stuff to do, it seems. So I can't just sit down and play all day.
Definitely the game you were the most verbose about the entire run of this podcast.
But there's only one other game that could beat it, and that's my number one for sure, which you probably know what it is by now. But
I have an inkling.
So that's my number two. I really love that game. It's genuinely a great game.
Well, now that you've squeezed out your number two, before we get to number ones...
Boo!
I think...
I was drinking this. I couldn't boo you straight away.
Why do you think I timed it like that? Mm. Before we get to our number ones, we'll take a slight diversion because we've got some mentions, both honourable and dishonourable, to cover off.
Yeah.
Now, I have two of each to your one. Would you like to start with honourables or dishonourables?
Let's start with the trash first, and then we'll look on a positive note.
Okay, so my first and foremost dishonourable mention goes to... Drumroll... Ukulele! Because that game was not good. I kickstarted that game because, well, I never played Banjo-Kazooie because I didn't have the right systems at the time. I did love those kind of platformy collectathon type games, your Spyros and Crash Bandicoots and so on. So I funded this, thinking, this will be a great way to bring this kind of thing forwards in the same way that Double Fine Adventure brought adventure games back into the sort of forefront of development again. If nothing else, it would be a trigger to get more of the stuff I like. Then the game arrived, and it was shit. And the camera was terrible, and the gameplay controls were awkward, and the worlds were weirdly designed, and the combat just wasn't fun. Traversal wasn't fun. The one fun ability they demonstrated in all the footage, the ability for... Yuka, the chameleon, to roll up into a ball, and Laylee, the bat, to kind of run backwards on it like a circus clown for a really fast traversal method, was something that had a power bar, so you could only use it for like 10 seconds at a time before you ran out of charge, which is so dumb. So dumb.
Man, that little chameleon gets dizzy, man.
I don't give a shit. It had the potential to be something great, and... By all means, they're working on big patches. It could become something great down the track, but I didn't like it just at all. I got to the second world in the game. Like, the hub world was badly designed. You couldn't figure out where to get from point A to point B. And just, no, it wasn't good. Like, it's finally coming to Switch for the people who backed it on Switch mid-December, but... I don't think it'll be good because it's given them this much trouble getting it onto the Switch, and that's without patching out all these sort of major issues at the same time.
Mm.
So, Ukulele, you were disappointing. Thumbs down.
Oh, no. Well, my first dishonorable mention is one that I don't really need to say much about because everyone knows what it's about. Boy, was Battlefront 2 a massive disappointment.
I'm glad you brought it up.
The gameplay is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just all the other shit that EA tacked onto it. All I can say out of that is I hope Disney just severs all ties with EA and says, fuck this, we're bringing back LucasArts.
You know what? I think the punishment for fucking up Battlefront 2 so badly should be that they have to bring back not only Visceral Games' Star Wars title, but also Star Wars 1313, because that looked amazing.
Just bring back LucasArts, man. Just make it all in-house. Disney's own game studio, LucasArts, go nuts.
Or at the very least, vet the content before it gets released. Like, how did no one catch like the bullshit of that?
Just take it away from EA. Just take it away. But reportedly, one of my mates was telling me today that EA's like overall value went down like $3 billion over the bad PR. Yeah.
They have lost a decent chunk of change in their stock prices.
For real, LucasArts. LucasArts made great games. Bring it back.
Yeah. Do they even exist anymore?
No, they were liquidated when the thing came out. But bring it back, man. Just do it. Bring it back. It's a name that people know.
Yeah.
Like in the game industry, so do it. Disney, you've got all the money. Why don't you just make your own game studio?
Yeah.
You make your own Marvel movies. You make your own other movies. Just make your own games as well. That way you can't be fucked up. Yeah. Do it. That's what I say.
Yeah. That would be ideal. Okay. Well, I have another dishonorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a bit more of a kind dishonor than Ukulele was.
Mm-hmm.
My second dishonorable mention is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which was just a game with wasted potential. It wasn't bad, but it definitely wasn't great. There was a lot of new stuff they tried, good on them. The Frostbite engine was fighting them from the very start. The bugs, good lord, the bugs. The weird facial animations. The fact that from all sort of internal reports, it seems to be that the game was like crunched hardcore to get out at all. So kind of just the level of polish wasn't there and features got dropped right up to the end of the game. Because as you know, I put off finishing that game for ages while they patched it. And I was still getting like crazy bugs right at the end of the campaign.
It's a shame.
At one point, I was running around with my little squad and one of my squaddies, PB, got stuck in T-pose and just stayed that way for about 45 minutes, even after sort of warping out and warping in kind of thing to try and get it to reset the models. It was just stuff like that. I was like, I wanted to love it, but I just kind of finished it and said, okay, there could have been some great story stuff going on for a sequel, but they're not going to get it. They've said that they've kind of hit pause on the franchise for now while they kind of reassess. And they've since announced a novel coming out that will continue the story of the missing Ark with all the Quarians and the Geth or whoever else they'll bring over, all the sort of secondary races, which definitely was framed to be DLC for the main game. So that's coming out in a novel, which, Mass Effect Andromeda.
I mean, you can read about that on the wiki when once the books come out, you can read and find out what.
Yeah.
Hit all the plot points. Yeah.
I mean, the books, I have read a number of the books sort of from the original trilogy, which were all written by Drew Karpashian. If he's writing it again, I'd give it a chance because he was a good writer. But I don't know if they'd slap someone who had a good history on this kind of mildly sinking ship. So, yeah.
Oh, well.
Sadly, Andromeda, dishonorable mention.
I played Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, and that's all I plan on playing.
That might be for the best. I mean, the character work was great. The game wrapped around it, not so much.
Oh, well.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other dishonorables?
Not really, no. Not that I can think of. I mean, I crapped on basically every other game, except Endless Space 2 this year. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's games out there that just weren't great. But for the most part, the games I played, I enjoyed. So okay. I don't have that many dishonorable mentions. Just Battlefront, because that was screwed up so massively. Yeah. I will give a dishonorable mention to Destiny 2 for delaying the PC release by 6 weeks. Fuck you guys.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And also for the weird XP rate limiting thing that was very badly handled.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So there's that as well.
Well, I guess moving on to honorable mentions then. Mm-hmm. I've got two again. How are you doing?
I've got just the one, but we've already sort of touched on one that I was going to mention as well. So
okay. Well, my first honorable mention is my second sort of cheat of the list. It's less a title and more an umbrella of titles, which is good games being ported to the Switch. I have gotten a couple of them at this point. Indie and sort of mainstream titles. So mainstream side, I've picked up Skyrim, which runs impressively well. Nice solid frame rate. I mean, it's an older game, so you don't really have to worry about sort of graphic capacity. Really, really nice to play on the move. I like the idea of using it for long trips when I'm just sort of sitting there doing nothing, such as traveling to America, where I currently am, as far as the listener knows. So I really enjoyed that. And then on the indie side, you've got titles like Axiom Verge, which I never got into on PC, but found really fun to play in handheld, and Stardew Valley, which I finally got to sort of sync up with and fall in love with. And oh God, I need to get back to that game. My farm needs me. On top of that, you've got things like Doom, which has been ported over, which is solid, if not perfect. And there was another big one, but I can't remember. Wolfenstein's coming to it, so that'll be impressive. I'm just glad that the Nintendo sort of home console isn't being left behind so much.
I'm going to counterpoint that with, I'm going to actually upgrade the Switch to a dishonorable mention, because all they bought out was ports. Fucking ports of games that are like, some of them like 5 years old.
Yeah, it's cool that
there's, it's cool that those games are on that thing, but it seems kind of sparse on the original games front.
I would disagree. We've had a good handful of very primo titles this year in the games, in the system's launch year, especially.
You've had a Zelda game and a Mario game.
And a Mario and Rabbids game. Mm. And a Sonic game. Sonic Mania. Not Sonic Forces. Good Lord, not Sonic Forces. That should have been a dishonorable mention.
I mean, like, so those games are like, you know, cool side games, but you've had two games. And one of them came out like 9 months after the console came out.
Yeah, because they staggered their releases rather than smashing them all out at the start, which is how they failed with the Wii U.
So based on this, we'll get another 5 games. Over the span of the Switch.
We've got a Metroid Prime coming. I don't think we've got a Star Fox coming because they fucked up the last one. I can't even remember now. But there's definitely a few titles. Oh, there's a Yoshi. There's a Kirby. There'll definitely be more Mario. There'll probably be a Mario Kart 9 down the track.
Which is going to be the same game as the previous one. I mean, the reason I'm giving it shit is because it just seems like they're trying to play catch up, but you're not getting,
oh, they definitely are,
like, you're not getting the like, they're built, a lot of these big games are coming out like, yeah, this is games coming to the Switch, like, I've already played the game like 5 times over like 3 consoles already. That shouldn't be a selling point for your brand new console. You should be going forward, not going like, hey, that game that you loved like 3 years ago, it's now on Switch, man, this is the best, the Switch is the best. That's what I don't like about it.
I would counter your counterpoint, because re-releasing old titles to new systems has just become a mainstay over the past 3 years. Everything gets remastered or definitive or final editions.
Nintendo seems to be pushing the greatness of the Switch with these games that they're bringing back and stuff. So bringing back a remaster is great, but they didn't sell PS4s on the remaster of Full Throttle.
What I don't like. You're talking about remasters and you're playing a game that's from the '80s, the '90s.
Like I said, I don't like that they're using those games, these old ass games that people loved previously, to sell the Switch. That should be like, oh sweet, these games are coming to Switch, but they shouldn't be. They're selling the Switch with like Skyrim's coming to it. Like, Skyrim. Like, we've got Zelda at the start, yeah, and we've got Mario, but Skyrim.
For the Nintendo faithful out there, the people who only play Nintendo, some of which I know, these are games they've never had the chance to play, though. And I like that they're filling out the library, even if not every single title is an original masterpiece. Because the Wii failed because they had a handful of good titles. The Wii U, I should say. In the lifetime of the Wii U, I bought 7 games, I think. Because they had the big titles that they staggered out, and they didn't release anything to fill in the gaps. They had Virtual Console, which hasn't been released for Switch yet, which I think is kind of a benefit, because those Nintendo hardcores will repay for the same Virtual Console game again and again and again.
That is a whole other argument.
I know people who take pride in buying every single Virtual Console game to say they've got a complete library of the ones they allow to be released. It's not that. They're giving it more variety. They're showing that they respect indies, that they're bringing them to the platform, and it's not just the big titles, but at the same time, getting the big titles, because the Wii U got dumped by EA, and all the major studios that were sort of initially promising to release on the system because it was just so hard to work with, and the Switch isn't perfect for that, but at least it runs Unity.
Have we had any games concurrently released on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox?
Sonic Mania. Actually, I think it came to Switch first.
Any other examples?
Let's see, what have I got on my list here? Nothing that I've noted on my list, but there are definitely some games that I chose to play on PS4 instead of Switch.
I don't really agree with they're making such a big... They're selling the Switch on the old games that we've already played instead of games coming out now or new games coming out. That's the bit where I don't like what they've done with it.
I disagree.
Knowing that those games are on the thing has not made me want to buy a Switch.
You weren't going to buy one anyway, though.
If they release Pokemon game on that, I'll buy it in a second.
Well, then, look forward to probably 2 years from now when that finally happens.
I said, good. I bet you it's just the same Pokemon game over again.
But in the meantime, what is your honorable mention?
Cuphead.
Cuphead, okay. Yep. Did you actually play it?
I have not played it. It's an honorable mention because I love it, that it reminds me of the cartoons, the shitty cartoons I was able to watch in the 80s. Yep. Not the cartoons from the 80s, the cartoons that were from like the 40s that I was able to pick up, like the original run of those things, where everything's constantly moving because you have to remind people that it's an animation. So like everyone's like arms are doing this and their legs are bowing and just all that shit. I love that it takes me back that far, but it looks really nice and crisp.
Yeah, like having those kind of old visuals brought forward in such a sort of a classy looking way is similar to why I enjoyed Sonic Mania, because it gave the feel of the retro without being an exact replica of the retro. They also did a really good job of sort of bringing forwards the feel of those classic cartoons without carrying forwards the, racial insensitivity that was emblematic of that era. And instead just replacing it with like incredibly frustrating difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, and that I respect that as well, that people have complaining on it's too hard. The devs just gone like, whatever.
Meant to
and
be.
Just laughed. Yeah. Just like, no. Like, is there a way to make it easier? Like, just no. Just go away. We don't want you here. I love that. Yeah, I really like that game has come out.
It
would annoy the shit out of me. I would not be able to play it for longer than a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm never going to play it.
I love that game came out.
Yeah, I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they're talking about a sequel or sort of continuing on in that sort of rich art style. But yeah, I will never, ever play Cuphead because I know that I won't finish
one level. The game is made for speedrunning. For speedrunning.
And made for speedrun fails.
Yeah, made for rage quits.
Oh boy, having the boss patterns change every time you play, that is a real head fuck. But my final honorable mention is a game I know, again, you definitely haven't played. Nier Automata, which was PS4, PC, I think, and 360? 360, Xbox One. Probably not 360. With its 26 endings and really good narrative throughout.
It's tough to call them endings if you basically meant to sequentially play through the game over and over again.
21 of them are aside endings with 5 true endings. The final true ending was actually very poignant. I really enjoyed it. I won't say anything about it because experiencing it and sort of realizing what it is for yourself is the best part. But yes, it's definitely a game where if someone hadn't pointed out to me the multiple endings and I'd played through sort of ending A, the core story for the first go round, I would have said that was crap and moved on with something else. But I finished that game. I 100%ed all of the sort of achievements in that game for a given value of 100%ing.
There are no achievements on PS4.
There's trophies.
Yeah, they're not achievements. You don't get sweet ass points.
It's an achievement to complete the trophy.
It stands next to my name and proves that I'm better than any other random person that doesn't have as many points. Of which my points total is totally, like, tiny.
Yeah.
I did 1,000-point GTA 5, though, in the first week.
I've got my trophy level. It's fine. it is far and above anything of anyone on my list because I just played too much shit. Yeah, but I really enjoyed Nier Automata when I didn't think I would. And I've been pleased to pass the recommendation on to other people who have had the same experience, like not knowing that they'd love it and then getting in and finding out that even if it's not what you're expecting, it's a really good game.
Yeah, it is on a list of games I will play if I can pick it up super cheap at some point in the future.
I'd strongly recommend it.
Let's have a look. Nier.
N-I-E-R.
If I'm actually typing in the Steam box now. I'm not paying $60 US for it.
That is a bit high.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a Steam sale soon enough that will knock that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on my radar, but yeah, I'll play it in my own sweet ass time. So like 10 years after it came out, like Mass Effect.
Yeah. So the 2028 game of the year, we'll come back to this one.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that covers our mentions unless you have any other honorables.
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Well, in that case, Cliff, cut the suspense, put me out of my misery. What is your game of the year 2017 for the Indoorsman podcast?
I'm going to name a game and it's going to stun you rigid when you hear this game.
I've got my fainting couch here behind me. I'm ready to go. Drop it on me.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Excellent.
That's not the real game. Fuck that game. It's actually PUBG.
What a shock that Plunkbat came back.
There's no such thing as Plunkbat. That's dumb. No.
Take the championship. PUBG. Good old Plunkbat. Everyone's favorite.
I've sunk well over 200 hours in that game now. And it is... I played the... I've gone on about it before. If you don't know what PUBG is, then just you've been living under a rock. That game is... In terms of the... biggest, I guess, like debut game or like game that's just come out like with nothing else attached to it. That game is easily the game of the year. Like it's just come out of nowhere and just destroyed everyone. Like you expected Zelda to be good, you expected Mario to be good, but no one even knew what this game was, and it's just come out of nowhere and like million concurrent players at any one particular time. Like that's
sort of setting Steam records, I believe.
Yeah, so based on the numbers, where it's come from, where it is now, like it's the game of the year. But it's also incredibly fun to play if you're into the multiplayer shooty thing. I played on the test servers last night, so this is ramping up towards...
The mantling and desert level?
Not desert level, but mantling. Okay. But it's not just that. I expected it was just to be testing that. When they release 1.0 later in the year, this game is going to be... a completely different game. Vaulting and mantling and stuff is amazing and smooth. They've completely redesigned the sound so that when a grenade goes off that isn't right next to your head, it now sounds like it's not right next to your head. It sounds like it's supposed to be out there, because if a grenade went off anywhere within about 50 or 100 meters, it just sounded like it was right next to you. They've completely redesigned the sound so things are actually better now. When you are in the aircraft, you can actually talk to your teammates and hear them because the sound of the plane isn't so high volume. You can't do it. What's some other stuff in there? You can now change the brightness. So when you've got, say, like a red dot sight, you got a little red dot on your screen. Sometimes in some lighting conditions on certain parts of the map, you can't actually see what you're shooting. So you can actually adjust the brightness of it now. while you're zoomed in, you can roll your mouse wheel so you can make it dull or super bright. So that's kind of, there's tons of little stuff like that that just makes it just better in basically every way. Motorbikes now are not instant death machines. You can actually leave the ground and then hit the ground again without just floating and turning in the air in ways that physics don't support. Very good. So you can actually, they're actually rideable now without thinking you're going to die. So lots of little changes like that, and it shows. It's an amazing game. I can't wait for it to actually drop and go solid, because right now you can only, on the test servers, you can only play in like 2 or 3 locations in the world, and you can only do squad, so you get like the test servers are also laggy as well, because they don't really, like, who cares about prioritizing the lag on those to make it better. You just want to test out the mechanics, basically, see do they work, yeah, that kind of shit. So, yeah, I can't wait for it to hit Gold 1.0 and for it to come out, because it's going to be an amazing game. It's already amazing. Yep. It's going to be even better.
I think it's hilarious because, as you know, sites and outlets start doing the Game of the Year lists, the debate is coming up. Can we put it as Game of the Year or in the Game of the Year ranking when it's in Early Access, which comes up every year with one game or another? And it's so fun watching people just divide themselves over a technicality.
If a game is good enough in Early Access to be on people's radar for Game of the Year, then it kind of deserves to be there, I think.
But it wasn't technically released because it's not been released at all yet. I've been involved in these debates before, and it's great because I don't really give a shit.
Yeah. But if you can play the game, even if it's Early Access, it counts.
Not everyone would agree. But that's fine. It's your list. You can do what you want. But
it comes out before the end of the year anyway. It's due for full release.
At which point, 2 weeks. It will no longer be a technicality. Because, yeah, it's dropping for Xbox as well.
Xbox next week or the week after. And then like a week or two after that, apparently, that's when it's tipped to go 1.0 on PC.
Cool. Well, that was a shocker. I'm very surprised. Couldn't have seen that one coming. But it's fine. I've sent the order off to our trophy engraver, Cliff Game of the Year, Plunk Bat. It's on its way.
If it says Plunk Bat, I'm just going to burn it.
That's fine. It's made of asbestos. Have fun with that.
And then I'm just going to sue whoever made it then, and you, for exposing me to asbestos. Thank you very much.
I mean, we both knew one of us was going to kill the other in the end. It's just the how and the when.
30 or 40 years and I got emphysema.
I love a slow burn, but it's time for my Game of the Year. So this one, maybe not too surprising, but I ruminated over it long and hard. I looked at the list, I eliminated a lot of titles that I didn't expect to eliminate. I mean, some of them didn't even make it onto this list. Mario Odyssey isn't on my list, which is shocking because I loved that game. But it's okay. My 2017 Game of the Year is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. No, wait, fuck that game. It's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, their number ones were not very surprising.
No. Yeah, Breath of the Wild, like, everyone knows about it. It is a revolution for the Zelda titles. It was an amazing title to have come out on launch for the Switch. It was
the only reason to buy a Switch at launch.
For a while there, yeah. But yeah, it was nice, not to have it led by a shitty Mario game, which is what we've had the last couple generations. Luigi's Mansion, that's not a real Mario game.
No, at least make Wario World.
Oh, Wario World. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of, make a WarioWare game again. Fuck.
Yes.
Do you know how much fun you could have with a Switch with that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zelda Breath of the Wild was amazing to play. It was a huge open world. There was so much hidden away. It took forever to do it. They're still releasing content for it now. The Champions DLC comes out between now and the end of the year. They haven't said when, but they've confirmed that it will be within 2017. I love it. It made me buy amiibos. Hate it a little bit, but it was an amazing step forward.
Microtransactions right there.
Not micro, I'll tell you that much.
That's actually true.
So Zelda Breath of the Wild, I loved it. I love what it did to a franchise that's been maybe a little mired in its ways for a bit too long. The fact that Mario Odyssey also then took some steps in a new direction. Not as extreme for Mario, but any step in a new direction is pretty extreme for a Mario game.
For Nintendo in general, with their first party stuff,
yeah.
Any deviation is a miracle, basically.
Yeah, for decades, Nintendo have known that if Nintendo does Nintendo, people will buy it. But they've seen that stop working in the last couple of years. Good. So they've had to sort of reinvigorate themselves. And I think, sadly, some of that is that Satoru Iwata died. So the kind of traditional leadership of the company changed a little bit to a guy who looked like he should be a fossil, and yet somehow he's led the company in a new direction. So, cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see what they do with the next Breath of the Wild, or next Breath of the Wild-esque game, or next Zelda game.
Well, you've got about 10 years to wait for that.
Well, yeah.
You've got to wait for another entire generation of Nintendo consoles to come out before you get another one.
It's just Nintendo, who love to do what Nintendo already did, they suddenly set their minds to, hey, let's do an open world, and it was great. So if they take chances, like, they know they'll still have the audience, but it also means that the audience gets something much better.
I mean, it's not wasn't exactly the riskiest move ever when every other game in the universe is doing well in open worlds.
Yeah, but it's not something Nintendo's ever done, so I'm impressed that they managed to get it right the first time.
They should have got it right.
I do still want a HD remaster of both Mario Galaxy games, because holy fuck, seeing how pretty Mario Odyssey was, getting to do, like, traveling between planets. Ugh, do it. But that brings our Game of the Year 2017 list to a close. So that was the 10 best games for the year between us, and some other mentions that we wanted to bring up.
It was pretty great that we didn't have any crossover, and they were very different games.
It's nice, yeah, we get to cover more games than just, you know, ever agreeing on something. It's just not going to happen. but yeah, I figure we'll hold off till our sort of final episode of the year to talk about games we're looking forward to in the coming year, because there's really nothing else this year.
Endless Space 3.
Hmm?
Endless Space 3.
Is that a thing that's actually happening?
No.
Yeah. Well, pie in the sky. Yeah, I think this episode's run long. We don't really need to do our usual diatribe at the end.
No.
Thanks for sticking with us for the year. We've passed a full year of making this podcast at this point,
woohoo,
which is pretty wicked. There's still some of you listening, which is nice. There could be more of you. Hey, rate and subscribe.
Please.
Tell you what, after this recording, let's both go and rate our own podcast. That will triple the number of reviews that we have.
I cannot. I don't have an iTunes account.
Then you need to get to work, my friend.
No, I'll never have an iTunes account.
And our podcast will never be successful. So at that point, that is the end of this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening to our Game of the Year 2017 list. We look forward to seeing you in the new year for 2018's games, be they good, bad, or indifferent. But for now, I have, as always, been your host, Matt.
And I am your host that's still mustachioed, Cliff.
Ugh.